We get as far as we can. We're doing our message on the heart. I don't know, were you here last week? Right? Okay, well then, go look up last week's introduction. That was that last Sunday. If you want to get all I did is I did an introduction and I defined the word heart. Okay, so a lot, I mean, introduction is always important. You can pick it up, whatever, but, you know, yesterday was an introduction to the word heart. Appears 666 times in the Old Testament, and we're going to get into study today. Between yesterday, last time today, we've already will touch on 60 times the word heart's already mentioned, one-tenth of the Old Testament, and we'll get some application today. Now, here's the other side of the coin. Here's another thing about the heart from the dark side. St. Jude Novena. Now, I get this Catholic paper, you know, and because my mom was Catholic before she got saved, and I kept the paper because I like to see what's going on, you know. I get what they're saying. So, may the Sacred Heart of Jesus be adorned, glorified, loved, and preserved throughout the world, now and forever. Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. St. Jude, worker of miracles, pray for us. St. Jude, helper of the hopeless, pray for us. Like that lady today, need help? Oh, Mary. See how it's brainwashing? You get all that. I mean, you are saints, you know. Now, here it is. The Novena. Anyone know what the Novena is? Anybody Catholic? Catholic? Okay, we got some Catholics here. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what it is. The Novena is a 9-day devotion. Say the prayer 9 times a day. You know, let's say Matthew about vain repetition. If you would like to acknowledge the gratitude, the influence, please let us know and put your initials here. So you say this prayer I just did, you know, 9 times 9, 81 times, and something's going to happen. I don't know who you're communicating with, but certainly communicate with the author of the book. Amen. So, but you can see, I'm just point being is, hey, this here's a practical application of this kind of bad doctrine, even this morning, all around us. I mean, people don't realize it, but obviously we're living a spiritual warrior going on here, warfare. And so we see it every day. And obviously, you all see it, and sometimes people think about it, but there's still a battle for the mind and the heart and ultimately the soul. Amen. Okay, so today I'm going to just go to see how far the Lord leads. And last time I covered in the study of the heart, just kind of definitions, because obviously there's a lot of definitions. Obviously, I think I gave you 15 or 16 last time of a definition of heart. So let's look at this here. Some or all these descriptions of the heart will be described in this Bible study. Many times when I go through an illustration, there's 3 or 4 or 5 things happening at the same time. The heart can do 3 or 4 things at one time. And so let's look at the law first mentioned. I think it's very important because in the law first mentioned, that's a Bible principle, you kind of see what's going to happen. And I think we have it real clear here, again, show you how important that is. And the law first mentioned for the word heart is in 2 verses next to each other, and it's first mentioned what God says and what man says. So you have 2 kind of nice definitions here, and it's found in Genesis 6, chapter 6, 5 and 6. It says, for man and God, the word here it is, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. There's your first mention of the word heart. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Well, obviously, you know, Jesus had a heart, but this is God the Father was telling you that, hey, the Lord, we're made in his image, and there's emotions and there's regrets there. You see that from our first definitions, man, heart, have a multitude of definitions, and that man left himself. Here's what happened. Obviously, what happened there, you have the verse before that, you got sons of God coming out, and they're breeding with women, and then you got the flood that was the judgment of this. And so you know what happened? God's showing you very early on that the imaginations and thoughts of a heart leave the Mandalorian. You get that? I mean, if we just could have peace on earth and be ourselves, you know, they tried that already. That's a done deal, you know? And what's interesting is, this is the first word of this word, imagination. Ain't that something? So today what I'm going to show you is how important the word imagination and heart goes hand to hand, and we're legion. It's an application. That's the hopefully the lesson we'll get for today. Very important, you know. So you can see what happened here is imaginations, you know. Remember last time, things go into our eye gate, our ear gate. It goes into our mind, and then it comes from the heart, and we have actions. It's a simple thing. So the battle for the mind, and we have a lot of things going on in the mind here that just messing up with people, you know. So I'll show you actual applications and how the Lord shows it in Scripture clearly, and I'll show you the bad examples, the good examples, and what we can do about it. So in Proverbs 6:18 says, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to running the mischief. So real quickly, right here is the application I told you. Once he shows you one comma, here's where it starts and here's where it ends. Sometimes it's a process from thinking about something, doing something. Sometimes it's this quick. Sometimes you're thinking about things, you know. I'm thinking about things, you know. So what happened here is in Jeremiah 17:9, very important, very popular verse, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know who knows it? The Lord. The Lord knows. Amen. I mean, hey, you know what? That's a question to the believer. Hey, you know what though? The Lord knows at heart. The real test of a man or woman or child, whatever, is what they're thinking when they're kind of left alone with themselves. Now, today we have so much noise going on. We're getting, and that noise generally ain't good. It's music, rock music and all that stuff. But generally, hey, I'm left alone myself. What are you thinking about? You see that there, you know? That separates, hey. If you're like me growing up, you know what you did? When you're growing up, remember how your kids probably, your parents finally trust you enough to leave the house, you're home by yourself? Remember that time? Well, we caused troubles. You know what I mean? But you know what that why? We're left alone. Hey, our authority's gone. What can we do? Now, you know, today you do some wicked things, but I remember my brother wrestling around because, mom and dad are gone, so we're wrestling around, what are we doing? And we put a big hole in the wall in our condo. And you know what? So, remember what we can do? So back then we had wallpaper. Remember wallpaper, people? So we found the wallpaper and we cut it out and we patched it up and we kind of put it there. My mom never found out about that thing. I don't know how she got around that, but we actually patched it up and we just kind of aside. And you're looking at it, you can see it real clearly, but you know, that's that doing stuff when you're gone. Hey, I remember being a 13-year-old kid and my parents left. Like, what do you want to do? Well, we're thinking of not good stuff. Oh, let's clean the house up for mom and dad. Okay? And vacuum. You know what I'm thinking, are you? So I got a bunch of old fireworks, and I unraveled them, and I put them in this big tube in my back patio. And, you know, so I'm going to throw a match in there and see what happens. So I threw a match in there. Nothing happened. So I kind of go over there. Psh! It went up right here and burned my hair, my eyes, and my face. And that was only, a 13-year-old punk kid, you know? So I took a shower, and my brother, this is for a cell phone, calls up Willie. You know who Willie is? My buddy Willie? He lived next to me. This is almost 50 years ago. So he called up Willie and goes, hey, man, my brother blew up his face. He goes, ha, ha, yeah, right. Hung the phone up. He goes, yeah, the doom was next door. They said that Tim blew up his face. So Mr. Miranda goes, hey, man, I'm going to go check it out. And so he went over there, and sure enough, he goes, I'm taking you to the hospital. I'll take responsibility. That's his dad's still in front of mind this day. You know why? I realize how important it is to take responsibility today, right? No, hey, I'll take responsibility, call the ambulance, I'll take care of everything. You won't find it today. There's still, his dad, Willie, still in front of mind. He said, he has a house in the Keys. I have this room for me, he says. I have room for you in the Keys. I said, okay, if it's my room, I'll rent it. 60-40 split. I didn't say anything yet, you know? Anyways, so the point being is, here it is when we're left alone, hey, man, what's going on? And obviously you're thinking it's dumb kid stuff, But what happens? The dumb kid stuff turns to adult stuff. And our things, you know, I might go into prison for many years, I know. Just sitting alone. And that's what the Lord's showing you here. The imagining, just kind of get you thinking of, of growing up yourself, how we got stinking thinking at the time, right? Amen? You know? So, I mean, some things were kind of kiddish, childish. God gave you mercy. Sometimes it's real serious. So you see, and I'll show you how, a little later here, how the progression of that leads to destruction. I have a good, God gives you such good illustrations in the book, you can't miss it. Okay, so that's just a little thing here. Now, let's look under the Mosaic law here. Israel, in Deuteronomy 29, Moses understood these principles because you know why? He wrote Genesis. He wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and part of Deuteronomy. Obviously, couldn't write when he was dying. So here he is writing in Deuteronomy 29, 19 to 20. And, you know, he's kind of redoing or retelling people what's going on. I mean, Deuteronomy is the second law because they didn't quite get it the first time, right? We have to learn, amen? You got to hear it again and again. You're a teacher, right? The key to learning is repetitiveness, right? Tell them again. And tell them again, tell me, right? And then finally, they get it, hopefully, right? I'm like that myself. So here we go. It says here in verse 19 to 20, Deuteronomy 29, it says, "And it came to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse," and he's telling you blessings and cursings are going to happen, you know, kind of recapping stuff, "that he blessed himself in his heart, saying, I have peace, though I walk in the imagination of my heart." So they're here. Here is a mature man of the Lord, Moses, telling you subtle things. See, in his imagination, so you get older and mature, you know, what happens is now your imaginations are kind of good, you know? You know what I mean? "To add drunkenness to thirst, the Lord will not spare him, but then to anger of the Lord, and his journey shall smoke against the man, and the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven." So here he's giving you a recap and telling you everything starts with imagination. And, you know, he's telling you that a right relationship with the Lord is kind of is and seated in the heart. You know, so that, you know, if you read that, hey, is he giving you a recap? Hey, make sure you have these laws, make sure your imagination and thoughts are clear, especially this is under the law. They have the Holy Spirit like we have today. Hopefully the Spirit that liveth in you is kind of, as you're getting led by the Spirit, right? But back then, remember, under the law, so they had just their own, sometimes their own, what God did for them as their course and what was said by the prophets. Now, when Samuel was getting a new king for Israel, remember Saul was rejected? This is what was said as he looked at the sons of Jesse. Remember Bible? Saul kind of dropped the ball. They picked him out. And now Samuel's looking around for a king. It says here in 1 Samuel 16:7, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on the countenance, on his countenance, or on the height of a statue." When he's talking about Saul. They picked a man that was good looking, probably. Remember, sat above the rest. And when they picked him out, what he did, he kind of hid in the tent. You know, and of course, we know what happened to him. "Because I have refused him," speaking of Saul, "for the Lord seeth not as a man seeth. For a man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh upon the heart." Get that? I mean, you just can't see what's going on in people's hearts. You look at them, they can be hurting. What's going on? Whatever you do something, it's application now, application. I'm an application guy. Whenever you do something, just do it unto the Lord. Amen? Just do it unto the Lord. I mean, just, and don't worry about what people say or hey, this is for the Lord. It should be an unconscious competence. Colossians 3:23. "And whatever ye do, do it heartily," see, "as to the Lord and not unto man." That's pretty, get that, you know? So here an application is, hey, just the Lord knows your heart, and don't try to please man, because, you know, they may not see what you do or not tell anybody. Who cares? Just do it for the Lord. That's what the Lord wants to do. Okay, so, and of course, What do? They picked out David. And except for a few things, he was, a man after God's own heart, right? So look at, as we transgression, let's see what David's last words were to Israel. Kind of like a, you know, people have their swan song. Hey, this guy's really close to dying or transitioning. You know, what's the conclusion to the whole matter? What has them to say after their life, right? I mean, that's kind of good to you know, people write their own memoirs. What did this person learn? Oh, well, here, we have recorded. We have God's word. God put these words in here so we can read them and learn from them. Amen? So in 1 Chronicles 29:10-19, this is kind of his, last will testament. I mean, for Israel and his son. You know, okay, so from a national standpoint, I'll read to you here, and I'll pick up some things here, and I'll show you how this points to the heart and to the imaginations and how God shows that first law first mentioned all throughout the scripture. Wherefore, David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. So here's obviously David is now standing before congregational Israel and Judea, they were together at the time. And David said, "Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and the reignest and thou reignest over all, and thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand is to make great and to give strength unto all." Now hang on a minute. Wouldn't that be great if some politician would give some praise to the Lord like that? Instead of, it's the Democrats' fault, it's Republican. Hey, how about just giving bragging on God a little bit? Wouldn't that be refreshing? Amen? We're showing what here he is. You know, wouldn't it be great if we hear from people today? Now, verse 13. "Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners as were all our fathers, our days on earth as a shadow, and there is none abiding." What David's doing here, he's remembering where he came from. Amen? Remember, Christian, where you came from. Amen? Sometimes, you know, go back to the beginning, or where you could be. Amen? "O Lord, our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee a house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand and is all thine own." Now, what's happening here, remember he wanted to build a house for the Lord and he says, "You're a man of war, you're not going to do it." So he's just kind of saying, "Hey, I like to do this." He wanted to do it for the Lord, it's not you know, your son. So verse 17, "I know also, my God," listen up, "that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart." See? God knows he's now learned a lot, David, amen? We have a story, right, you know? And so he knows what's going on here, you know? He's telling people here, "I have willing offered all these things, and now have I seen with joy thy people." Remember now, he lost his son from Bathsheba, and his son raped his son. I mean, that's a lot going on. He paid a lot of prom, naming the people, you know, but still he called the joy. This is a guy at the end of his life, "which are present here to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers," as a nation, there's a national thing there, "keep this," listen up, "forever in the imaginations of thy thought." See that? "Of the heart of thy people." See that there? So he's just reminding people to don't forget. That's why we have memorials. To remind you to think about what the Lord has done. You get that? So here he is, his final kind of song. Hey, listen up, folks. Don't praise the Lord. Remember where we came from. I'm testifying to him. We're going to build a temple here. And so we'll be thinking about these things here, right? You know? And prepare thy heart unto thee. See, it starts right there. And give unto Solomon, my son, a what? A perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, thy statutes, and do all these things, and to build the palace for that which I have made provision. You know what, though? The palace for the Lord, that was last. He wanted the right statues and laws before that. Who could you have a big emphasis to build? Like the Catholic Church has built this giant emphasis. Ever been to Europe? Around these giant emphasis, and they're dead. What good is having a building and nice, all this nice stuff if the people there is not serving the Lord? So he understood that. So that's a great thing that he's doing here, telling people application. In this address, a couple things to note. Note that he praised the Lord. Remembered where he came from. Understood what the Lord liked. That's called doctrine. Amen? By understanding doctrine, you know what the Lord likes. You know what he thinks about, right? Let this mind, you get that, you know? So you're, hey, I know how many people please the Lord. Sometimes you're newly saved, you're saved, you're all excited, but then you finally get precept upon precept, doctrine upon doctrine, and they know what the Lord likes, and you're, hey, you know what, though? It's like here's your kids growing up, and you know all this stuff, and maybe like playing baseball with you a lot, or doing those things, but don't, and they like playing baseball and going things, but hey, you got to do chores, or do what's right. I mean, I like the going to baseball with dad, and going out with a hot dog, and all the things we like, but there's some things you have to understand. Order in the home, you know? So that's knowing the Lord, how he operates, you know? So doctrine, and ask him from your heart to guard your thinking. That's the imagination part. You see that? So it's good to learn from other people, and here's a good example of David, right, who's getting ready, and he's saying this declaration and prayer, actually a prayer, and he's pointing out, folks, in a few verses here, pay attention. So no stinking thinking. Now, here's my question. Did Solomon heed this advice? Let's look what happened to Solomon on this thing here. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 28:9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind, for the Lord searcheth all hearts and understanding and imagination, see it, and thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. I like that. But if, you know, there's a lot of but ifs in the Bibles, amen? There's some bad ones and good ones, amen? Well, I'm bad. Because, oh, here's the good stuff. But, hey, here we are, we like that. But the full story, but if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. See that? Yes, sir. 28:9. 1 Chronicles 28:9. So there's it laid out for Solomon. I mean, obviously Solomon watches dad, obviously. See what's going on. Dad passed away. Okay, now I'm dealing with you. Because you have a godly mom or dad, and they live their Lord, and nothing to me. How about you? It's your turn. In fact, a lot of times a second or third generation Christian can be kind of has some troubles because they kind of saw some things and they we'll cover that a little bit here. Okay. Now let's look back here on Deuteronomy 8:10-14. Because what David did is just look back at God's word. You always just look back at God's word, what it says, and then you apply it and you get blessings or you get cursing. So if you go back to Deuteronomy, this is 8:10-14. Let's look at what God kind of laid out here. And let's look at what happened to Solomon here compared to his dad. His dad had problems too, but you know what though? That's, you know, we'll cover that a little later. Deuteronomy 8:10-14. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he had given thee. Now, you know, in the Old Testament, the way God dealt with nations is that if you just live right, God was kind of obligated to bless you. That's just the way it was. And the charismatic people, oh, if you got money and health, you must live right. That's not the case today. But so that's kind of what kind of was God obligated himself by just doing what's right. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. It's a memory thing. Is not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I commanded thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and are full and hath built goodly houses and dwelt therein, then thy herds and flocks multiply and thy silver and gold is multiplied and all thou hast multiplied, then thine heart be builded up and forget the Lord thy God. See, the Lord knew exactly. The thing about God, he's sitting here watching you, and he knows the end. Thank God we're over the end, right? Here we are. I started living by faith. He knows you're going to screw up over here, maybe. But he's loved. That's the amazing thing about God. He knew what's going to happen to Israel on the road, so he's putting this decree out here that what happens when things go good, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So he knew there were going to be some good times in Israel. But he goes, remember this now. Remember this year where you came from. Remember in Israel. See, we forget things. See what I'm saying? You know, that's why I always go back to me personally. Man, I can say later in life, 25, man, I should be in hell. I don't question I'd be in hell. And it's just that alone. Forget everything else. Just knowing that is a tremendous blessing. I mean, because that's a big blessing. So having it good can be bad. And that's what happened to a lot of people in Scripture. We'll cover Psalm in a minute here. And it happens to Christians today. You know, God dealt with nations back then in the Old Testament. But he's dealing with individuals today. What happened to a nation can happen to an individual. You get that? So let's look at now a specific command or precept for king, because you know, king's got some power and some dough. I mean, if you're a king, you generally have some, hey, do this and do that. That's kind of that power to point your finger and someone does it and have, you know, collect taxes and I get some and you get some and I get some more. And you know how all that works, right? You know, happened today all around us. Amen. It's called politicians. Oh, politicians. Poly means many, ticks, blood-sucking parasites. Deuteronomy 17, 14 and 17. When thou art come unto the land which the Lord thy God had given thee, and possess it, and shall dwell therein, and shall say, I will set a king over me. This is Deuteronomy 17, 14, 17. Like as all the nations are that are about me. So people were setting up kings, and that's the way God did things back then. Thou shall in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose, one from among thy brethren shall thou set a king over thee. So he's telling you can do that. Remember, they kind of tried Solomon. They let the Lord do the first one. Remember that. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not of thy brother. There's some separation. God wanted his own people over his own people, obviously. You know, the separation Bible doctrine, you know. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause any people to return to Egypt, that's the world, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord hath said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way, neither shall they multiply wives to himself, that his heart not turn away, neither shall he greatly multiply himself silver and gold. So here is a specific declaration to a king. Hey, don't go back to Egypt, picture the world. Don't multiply horses, wives, silver, gold. That's a king. You know what though? Because them stuff can change your mind. Now he knows, the Lord knows, it'll change your heart. I got a lot of wives. No, I have one. I'm happy with one. I can manage having 500 of them. Like imagine all, remember the birthdays and what do you get for this one here and what that one says, and you had 500, you know, mother-in-laws. And some, can you imagine? I don't know how they did that. I got some money to buy. Like, what do you, no thank you. Keep the one I have. Okay. All right. Application. Be careful, American Christian. And I'll show you what happened to Solomon here. When you have maybe a few dollars or later days, you have less responsibility and our hearts get away from the things of the Lord. You know, the Bible says, it says in James, a double-minded man is unstable. That happened to Israel. I'll show you how it happened to him real bad. It happened to Solomon. And we can liken those principles to the believer today. American, a lot of times American Christians, they can just eat, marry, and they forgot about what the Lord does. So there's a problem. And King Solomon broke these things. You know, he did everything. He multiplied wives, horses, silver, gold. That's why they say he's kind of in type an Antichrist. And think about that, because he came on in the golden age. Think about it. He was known as the golden age, right? A golden age. I mean, the Queen Sheba came. Unbelievable. And what happened? And then, wow. And then all of a sudden, kind of destruction happened. Kind of what's going to happen, I think, here in the next step of the world's timeline, we're going to have lots of troubles, right? Worldwide. And someone, quote, will step on the scene. Hey, man, I know why people are missing, or I know how to solve things. And he'll be like, wow, have answers. But you know, he's not going to be the one. You know, he'll be an antichrist, right? You know, so we can see that happening. We can just see that happen all around us now. Amen? I mean, it's pretty exciting. And we see the rapture opportunity, I think, believer, more today. I know a young lad over here, Jonathan's only 22, but believe me, and we see it more today than you ever have. Would you agree with that? It's unbelievable. And for the saint of God, I just got to hang in there, keep feeding me good food, genes, so I can get up. But that, through the other way here, man. You know, I want to go through the ground. I want to go through the air. So anyways, we'll stop here. Because I just got started, but I wanted to just get that for today. We're gonna see what happened here. Not only to Solomon, but to Israel. And next time I speak, I don't know what it'll be. It's important. Come on, because you know why? I'm gonna show you the step by step by step by step downward process that Israel went through to go from, you know, where Babylon came and destroyed them, all the warnings they had, and it was always something in the mind, their imaginations, their heart, and just destroyed them, and nothing changed today. Okay, any questions or comments on anything? Yes, sir, Paul.
Quickly, the King James Bible is such an amazing book, and God plays out this story of man in relationship to him, and it's the same old song, just a different tune, and he just shows us over and over again. Here's the beginning. He knew it all from the beginning. He knew Adam and Eve. He knew what they would do. He knows what man's going to do, and he gently said it every time. And if you just read what he says, you'll see it.
Yep. Amen. And that's why we have the book here. We can learn from past experiences ourselves. So, Father in heaven, I thank you very much for an opportunity to open up your word and show you a few things that in the past, but applies relevant today, and we're thankful for. May we learn from them, Father, and see the heart and imagination of what can happen, Father. So thank you very much for this little time we have. I pray as Pastor Hoffman comes and minister to us, Father, opening the Word through music and through the Word of God presented, Father. May you just prepare our hearts even now, Father, maybe listening to you and, you know, our uprising and down sitting, Father, and maybe working our lives even today, Father, and move accordingly, Father, and give Pastor Hoffman things you want him to say and the power of the Lord, Father, just to help us out, Father, today, Father. And we'll give you the praise and the honor and glory in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen.